The Great Road Safety Con by Godfrey Bloom. 15 years ago I wrote an aid memoir on speed cameras and their futility on road safety. I co-authored it with an old-fashioned traffic cop when I was in office. Subsequently I was asked to be a lead sponsor of the Alliance of British Drivers, a small lone voice for motorists against the hysterical anti-car lobby which have the levers of power today. The AA and RAC have long been hijacked by wokery and financial corruption. I expose here some of the myths and deceit perpetrated by mainstream media, politicians, fake charities and eco-nuts. The motor car was the strict privilege of the wealthy before the war, it was therefore unassailable. Now the ordinary citizen has a car, perhaps the ultimate key to travel freedom along with the motorcycle. This development has made it vulnerable to financial exploitation and the target for the pseudo-religious global green cult. The roads are now clogged up so the wealthy no longer have the run of the road and they are angry. The motor car must therefore be once again the preserve of the rich man. We can observe this phenomenon in air travel, now affordable to us all. It must be therefore curtailed and returned again to the few. Buses are good enough for ordinary folk. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, the modern woke and wealthy has ordered their estate. It is for this reason rationale has been abandoned, science perverted and dissent suppressed. Popular myths. The slogan "speed kills" is the most obvious. If speed kills, Lewis Hamilton would be dead, likewise every commercial pilot and passenger as aeroplanes travel at over 400 miles per hour speed, clearly therefore doesn't kill. What kills is driving into a tree at speed or flying into a mountain through bad driving or pilot error. A concept it seems too difficult for MSM. Linked to this absurd slogan is it s 30 miles per hour for a reason. Well yes, but what is the reason? Before the war, when motor cars had brakes modeled on that of a bicycle, the stopping distances were hopelessly too long. What could be considered therefore a safe speed? The speed of a galloping horse was estimated at 30 miles per hour, not unreasonably that seemed right for a built-up area. It has been with us ever since. But there is no scientific evidence it is appropriate for most of urban Britain. The point is, speed restrictions are simply a random number on a stick. It has led though to a great industry. Speeding fines, speed cameras, speed awareness courses. A multi-pound billion industry where over 80% of the profit goes into private hands. Shady companies part-owned by conglomerates including the AA. This extraordinary state of affairs has come about by the misuse of statistics by road safety companies aided and abetted by gullible charities, ignorant TV presenters, local councillors, civil servants and successive ministers. I went into some detail on the misuse of data on this platform last year. How do they con us? Let us look at the term related. Much used by road safety lobbyists. Statistics are increasingly difficult to ascertain since 2005 from the Department of Transport. The data fails to support the political rhetoric, so hide or fake the data. Speed or drink-related now form a major slice of the statistical public information. But it is subject to a phenomenon known to professional statisticians as the Simpson's paradox. Let me explain. Fred leaves the boozer after an afternoon in the week chief. Well pickled, he stumbles into the road in front of an oncoming car doing a legal 29 miles per hour. Fred dies of his injuries. It goes down as drink-related. But the incident is not logged as a pedestrian death, but a road death. Wrong column, wrong conclusions. We have seen this phenomenon in spades with the government recently. Died of COVID-19 or with 130,000 with 2,900 of 2021 January ONS, result appalling failure to respond effectively. A case in my old constituency, maniac steals a car, drives at 80 miles per hour in a 40 miles per hour zone and kills a pedestrian crossing the road. A road where no previous deaths had ever occurred. The council installed speed cameras, road safety company used the reversion to the mean, the normal situation, to sell the whole county more cameras. Gullible counselors and bought-off senior policemen collaborated. This has gone on all over the country for decades. Google road safety and find the majority of accidents are speed-related. A meaningless phrase. What is a road accident? Road crashes are not an act of God. Somebody causes them by inattention or flagrant stupidity. I watched a 1948 West Riding of Yorkshire Police road safety film on Talking Pictures recently. Road accidents are caused by the same reasons then as now. Driving, walking or cycling without due care, in some cases driving dangerously. Just for information, 61% of all crashes are from the maneuver of turning left, 2019. 80% of road accidents take place at under 15 miles per hour, 2009 ONS. 23% of all road accident fatalities are males under 25 years old. I make the point here because to respond to road safety requirements, serious in-depth data is essential. Emotional rhetoric from road charities or green politicians is of no value, but grieving mothers are strong TV. Putting cameras near numbers on sticks serves no purpose. A legal 30 miles per hour through a village with a blind bend in the middle is too fast. 20 miles per hour for no reason can be actually dangerous, how so you might say. Evidence is beginning to show 20 miles per hour is often misjudged by cars pulling out and pedestrians crossing. It can encourage risk in the counterparty. Here's a counterintuitive piece of thought provocation. 30 years ago, legislation was enacted to strengthen car roofs in the event that they overturn in a crash. Incidentally, very few do. Windscreen pillars were widened to facilitate this. Very sensible, the Elf and Safety Mob tell us. But is it? Visibility was drastically reduced by thickened pillars, blind spots increased by 20% looking forward. I remind you of that 61% of accidents turning left. Did we pay a heavy price in lives for strengthening car roof and restricting visibility? Ponder also, if you will, the advent of safety belts and crash bags. Wonderful life savers, aren't they? But are they? Would that nutter in the Audi tailgating you, or undertaking you like a homicidal maniac behave like that if there were no safety belts or bags in the car? Does he feel invulnerable? What if there was only a rusty spike pointing at his chest in the middle of the steering wheel? Cyclists and cycling. Let me just confirm, I am a cyclist and have been all my life. I have somewhere in my archive a cycling proficiency certificate dated 1959. I trundle into my local town all summer for supplies. I cycle always on the cycle paths, don't wear lycra, wear a titty hat, nor have I the mandatory grey goatee beard and dark glasses regardless of weather. Moreover, I have a bell on the handlebars so I can warn pedestrians, children and horse riders of my approach. Not the typical modern cyclist, I fear. But the problem we have now, thanks to government and MSM wokery, the cyclist seems to have now the same status as the holy cow in Hindustan. They can do no wrong, just having a cycle signals their virtue. Their garb carries the prestige of the Renaissance cardinal. They ride with no mandatory recognition and insurance. They contribute nothing in vehicle tax. In urban environments, they have no social conscience. Watch cyclist behavior from the top of a London bus. Yet their status is about to be enhanced by amendments to the highway code. Their antics and aggression are now so great, all my vehicles are fitted with dash cams. If you don't have one, invest now. The presumption of innocence is about to be betrayed by the highway code if you collide with one of these holy men whose patron saint is Saint Jeremy Vine. Road eco nonsense. The academic, media and political world are now deeply immersed in green religion. Science has long since been abandoned in favor of eco rhetoric. Dissent is forbidden. Cars are evil, drivers are monsters. This, of course, does not apply to government ministers, lovies, celebrities or captains of industry. They need their limousines and chauffeurs because they are important and the rest of us just peasants who can take the bus. Wearing my ABD hat last year on BBC Radio, the all too usual car-hating academic fellow guest from Leeds University who claimed temporary 50 miles per hour limits should be permanent to save the environment. He seemed oblivious to the workings of the modern automobile. Take my wife's 1.5 petrol Skoda. It has 6 gears. Obviously, to get maximum efficiency, 6th gear all the time is favorite. It was not designed to do long runs efficiently in 4th or 5th gear. Engine wear and fuel economy is based on engine revolutions, not speed, a concept beyond this public servant's imagination. But you see, his views are based on his real desire, which is to ban the car for ordinary people. He has, like all academics, a political agenda. By the by, whilst I am on the subject of long-distance motoring and speed, try driving from Hull to Bristol and never exceed 70 miles per hour. You will be a danger to yourself and everyone else. Remember the old highway code. Drive always at the same speed where possible as other traffic. Scientific opinion is 80 miles per hour on motorways to avoid bunching, cut down tailgating and undertaking, but emotion and political rhetoric prevent progress. Electric cars are going to save the planet. It seems by magic. Their construction and disposal are anything but environmentally friendly. Without fossil fuel, remember the energy source provided by nature and stored underground by God until we need it, batteries would be unchargeable. Without taxpayer subsidy, no one would buy them. For a scientific assessment, Google up Eric Peters in the USA. Some final observations. A professional driver for Ford Motor Company UK told me he got clicked for very minor infringements of speed numbers on sticks. In order to make absolutely sure he got no more clicks, he drove with his eyes on the speedometer far more often than real road safety would advise, by his own admission. Another friend told me his wife was clicked at 35 miles per hour on the way to Tesco. She did the speed awareness course with apparently scores of other elderly ladies. So traumatized was she, to make sure of no more clicks, she drives at 5 miles per hour less than the number on the stick wherever she is. This puts her in the aggressive slow category. A hazard to all around her. Incidentally, cyclists riding more than 2 abreast, condemned in the old highway code, are also aggressive slow, a danger to all including themselves. Incidentally, imagine the furore if motorists and motorcyclists used the public highway for racing or time trialing. Again, whilst wearing the ABD hat on Yorkshire TV, the interviewer suggested I was advocating wacky races with the abandonment of the camera-based approach to road safety, and he made the mistake of citing an incident that he felt proved their worth. He was, he said, driving along when he saw one ahead and he immediately braked, he triumphantly told me. But were you speeding? I asked. Oh no, he replied. So of course I pointed out he had gratuitously braked for no apparent reason, automatically endangering the vehicles behind him. Fair enough, we all do it. Speed camera ahead, hit the brake instinctively, even when you are under the limit, all the more reason to get rid of cameras. What should we do? I suggest cue cars, with properly trained road police as we had in the old days. They would nail the bad guys, the psychos who infest our roads, some particular roads incidentally. My old police chum would complain when they patrolled in a jam sandwich, police car, they and surrounding cars were in a law-abiding bubble, absolutely no deterrence effect at all. Imagine if dangerous roads like the A17 had unmarked cars which were known to be patrolling, how much more careful drivers would be. It would be cheaper for the taxpayer. One unmarked car is worth several jam sandwiches in deterrence. The target: dangerous drivers. The speed awareness courses are mind-blowingly boring and patronizing. The course staff do not appear to know anything outside the script, are either totally unable to engage in serious discussion, aggressive slow is completely beyond their comprehension or remit. Worse, many staff think the motorists in the room are guilty of breaking the law. They are not. They have been invited to attend a course instead of the getting the expense of contesting the proposed fine in a magistrate's court, a well-known futile endeavor given the average intelligence of the modern magistrate, They are guilty of nothing, convicted of nothing, presumed innocent under English law. There is a place for courses, but not in the current form and for the current reasons. Perhaps for the rehabilitation of drivers banned for dangerous driving. We should invoke real safety laws, driving without due care and dangerous driving. Those that kill, not poor old grandma going to Tesco. For information. Godfrey Bloom has a verifiable 50-0 claims bonus, a clean driving license and drove competitively for the Army and one-time HGV. Copyright Godfrey Bloom 2021.